Amen. There'll be no more testimonies. We're going to ask everyone to stand as we receive our bishop, Suffragan Bishop Verdell Jones, Sr. Amen. Read it with a hearty amen.
Amen.
Hearty amen.
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 Amen. Hallelujah.
Isn't the Lord good?
Oh, I tell you, God is up to something good. When Roy Roberts used to come on years ago when he was living, the first thing he would say when he came, something good going to happen to you. And one of my friends, a minister, he said, every Sunday I wait for him to say that when I go to church, he believes that something good is going to happen to you.
Amen.
Put your hand together for God for the good thing that's going to happen in the name of you. You may be seated. Amen. Thank God for all of our wonderful testimonies. And, you know, God is, amen. No telling what the Lord might say that picture's worth. Amen. Somebody might say, boy, this is so special. Amen. You may have a gold mine on your hand. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. So we just love him. We praise him for how good he is and for another day. As Mother Jones said, we've been on the road to Cincinnati the Tri-State Council. And certainly we've been with the saints of God, and we just had a wonderful time in the Lord. Long hours, you know, it wasn't like 2 or 3 hours a day, and it was like 10 hours a day, you know. But the Lord blessed us to be able to go through those venues and classes that we had and receive the good word from the Lord and just had a good fellowship with the people of God and brought us back safely over the highways. And we're here today on time. Amen. Amen. I was still on time for church. Amen. And certainly this afternoon, we got another service, the Tri-City Fellowship at 5:30. And I plan to be on time for that one. Amen. So, because I believe that God is an on-time God. Yes, he is. So we love the Lord. We thank God for you. And look out and see the beautiful sunshine. And hear somebody say, we're still spring. It is springtime. But you wouldn't think that yesterday when you got out of bed and my whole car was covered with snow and ice. And but before the end of the day, amen, it was all gone. You know, like God just made his appearance and did what he had to do. And what you see no more. Sometimes that's the way it is with us. Sometimes we're loaded down with stuff. Don't know how we're going to make it. But then God comes along and just moves it all. That's, oh, man, it doesn't look as bad as it did when I first got up.
Right.
That's the way life is. Sometimes you get out of bed in the morning, your bones don't want to act right, and your back won't act right, and your neck's hurting. And you know, but you can get up and move around a little bit, and the blood starts circulating and starts feeling good.
Yeah.
Nobody did that but God. So we, you know, so... we're just blessed today to be here, and we appreciate all the things that God is doing. And he's not through yet. I was just anticipating what the Lord is going to do in 2018, and my spirit keeps telling me there are going to be some great things happening in 2018 that never happened before. Amen. God is up to something. Something is about to break through, break loose. Amen. And you have to have that kind of mentality. That your faith got to look beyond what you can see. And you can't look in the past and see what the past has done. But God is a forward-looking God. You know, he's not looking back over his shoulder and wondering why, what this and what that. God is a very forward-looking God. He anticipates, amen, what you don't even see. And it's already, before you even get there, God's already done it. Amen. Nothing that slips up on God. So we thank the Lord for you. We're going to receive the word of the Lord. We're going to get into the word of the Lord briefly.
Amen.
Amen. Because he is such a wonderful Savior.
Yes, he is.
We are just glad to be here.
Amen.
Really, time is moving on. You know, sometimes we look at the calendar, look at the clock, and sometimes when you doing stuff, and boy, I didn't know it was this late. And you look at the clock, oh, yeah, it's this late? And, you know, and that's the way it is in life sometimes, you know. It's later than you think. So, especially for those who watch clocks. And I told you some time ago that we had this teacher in high school, and, you know, she was concerned about those who would come to her class and keep looking at the clock and see when they're going to get out of there. Because she was she was tough on you. I mean, you really had to. But she put a sign above her bulletin board, and she said, "Time will pass, will you?" so she had the last say, you know. And so I remember that all of those years, that's back in the middle 50s. And certainly, it's the same thing with us. Time is going to pass, and you know, you can't stop it. So I'm moving on with the time. I don't worry about age or anything like that. Amen. Because you might not be old now, but if you keep on living, you're going to be old one day.
Amen.
Amen. You cannot stop the aging process. Amen. Whether you want to stay young all your life, it ain't going to happen. Amen. I tell folks, don't worry about getting old. It means that you didn't die young. So, you know, so I anticipate. I love the Lord for the things that he's doing. So we love him. We praise him, how good he is, and what a blessing it is to be among the saints of God. You know, it's a lot of times we are so blessed, and but a lot of blessed folks are complaining. Somebody was talking, I think, in one of the classes we had, you know, about, you know, how folks, they don't know how far they've come. You know, you haven't always had in-house bathroom. They didn't always have a shower and a tub. Didn't have either one. Amen. You had a tub, but it was a wash tub. Amen. So God has brought us from a long ways, and didn't always have air conditioning and a furnace in the house. Amen. That's why the old folks say, "Heist the window. It's hot in here. Push the window up with no screen. The mosquitoes, the bumblebees, the wasps, and everything else. Okay, I'm going to church too." So we've had those kinds of things. But now everything is all plush and air conditioning and soft seats and all those kinds of things. But we have less participation in church. Back in the days when we didn't have all these modernized stuff and all this stuff, folks went to church in droves. I mean, they walk. Used to have an old deacon, he rode a mule to church, tied his mule up down by the stream, came on in church, rode his mule on the way back home. And some folks came in the wagon, all the rough roads. But now we got all our plush automobiles and air condition, GPS, amen, all these modern conveniences. But sometime, I don't know, something has happened to us that we have gone so far, that we've gotten so much, we sometimes forget where we came from.
Amen.
Amen. I don't forget where I came from. No matter what I have now, I know what I didn't have. Amen. I know what it is to not have a bed to sleep in that was comfortable. They made what they call a pallet on the hard floor. Just put a piece of either nothing on the floor or just a little blanket of some sort. You laid down on the hard floor and went to sleep, and didn't complain about it either. Amen. I thought the other day, I said, "Boy, when I was coming up, there used to be three of us sleeping in the same bed, two at the top, one at the bottom, so the feet at the bottom." If you're the one to this way, then who's ever bottom your feet some up your way? So, amen. So, but you know, we didn't think. I mean, that's the way it was. You know, amen. Everybody wants their own bed. They want their own iPhone, own iPad, my own computer. I want my own TV set. Lord, have mercy. You better. We I'm saying this for our young people because they think these things are free. Amen. They got to have my own iPhone. They got to have all this kind of stuff. And I thank God for modern technology. But I'm also thankful to God that I didn't have all this stuff when I came up. So I appreciate that even the more. And if I didn't have it, it really doesn't bother me. I learned to do without it. Let me see. I'm not hooked on the computer. I'm not hooked on iPhones and iPads. I use it for my advantage. But if I didn't have one, that's why when I prepare a message, I also put it on paper, because sometimes this machine won't act right. It'll go south on you while you're up here trying to preach. So I don't get too dependent on that. My whole dependency is on God. Because he's the only person, only thing I've found that doesn't change. Everything else is changing. But the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I love the Lord and I praise him. And that leads me up to our message for today. Out of the book of 1 Thessalonians. Yes. Yes. Amen. Chapter 5, verses 15 through 23. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 15 through 23, because, you know, I feel that we're sort of losing something as we move into this modern era, but I want to know that, Lord, I know you're the same God. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 15 through 23, and if you have it, stand if you can. And it reads, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good." Hold fast that which is good. "Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Can church say amen?
Amen.
Amen. From that 21st verse, the last part of that 21st verse, the subject of our message, hold fast that which is good. May be seated. Hold fast that which is good. That's why I said in my preliminary comments about things that we used to appreciate so much. I believe it was Jude that said that we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And there's a song said, "Let us all go back to the old landmark and stay in the service of the Lord." So the text says then, it says you got to hold fast that which is good. And I think sometimes we, the world, and also including the church, sometimes we lose our perspective looking to something that other folks have. There seemed to be in the church a great greed to have everything.
That's right.
If Mr. Jones and Mr. Smith, Mr. Johnson down the street had a certain thing, and boy, you said, I should like to have that, but you don't have any money to buy it. But sometimes you begin to focus on that thing that the person down the street have, you lose sight of what you already have. Amen. You know, the scripture says, be content, whatever state you in. Therewith, to be content. Amen. There are a lot of uncontent, they're not non-contented people in the church. They sometimes you don't appreciate where you are. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how little you have. If you lose that, you have nothing.
That's right. That's right.
And sometimes you don't appreciate how good that little bit you have until you lose it. Sometimes we lose focus on God. It's the same thing in the church. Even we in the church today, folks are losing focus on God. They have so many distractions. And they're trying to gravitate to this and gravitate to that, gravitate to this. But the scripture says, in all of thy ways, acknowledge God, and he will direct your path. You know, God has everything you need. So the text says, hold fast to the good stuff. We're grasping for stuff that's not good for us. It looks good, might taste good, may sound good, but it's deceitful. He said, hold fast to that which is good. Then he said, if you hold fast to that which is good, he said, you will not do evil to anybody. The first verse of the text says, see that none render evil for evil to any man, but follow after that which is good, both among yourselves and all men. Not just folks in your little surrounding, you're going to be good to. In your church, I'm going to be good to all the folks in my church, but them folks down the street, them folks up there, I don't know, I ain't going to deal with them. But the scripture says, follow that which is good both among yourselves and to all men. Black man, white man, yellow man, old man, young man, drunk man, all men, that's everybody. And it's hard sometimes for church folks to like folks that's not like them. You all your kids are not the same. So people are not the same, so I can't like folks that sort of like me, look like me, dress like me, or talk like me. No, he says, all men. So he says, hold fast then to those things that are good. Then another one he says, abstain or stay away from stuff that even look like is evil. Don't eat the very appearance of evil. Don't let that be a name among you. For example, when I was in the workforce, and you tried to be sociable and with your colleagues and all that kind of stuff, but even sometimes that you can't go where your colleagues go. They go places I don't frequent. So, a lot of my coworkers, when it came 5, they went to the after-hour bar, or after work, I guess they called it, whatever they called it back in the day. They're going to drop off at the bar before they went to the restaurant. That was mine. That's not where I went. But one time they had an event that they wanted all the management, especially in the African Americans. If you're in management, they wanted you to come and meet and greet. And it was a big old hotel, about 10 or 12 stories up. And say, we want you to come as a manager. Would you come meet and greet? I said, okay. So I went to this place and I went in, it had all these lights on, this is not like church. Lights were sort of dim a little bit, and music was playing. It was not church music. Amen. So right away, my mind tells me, hey, I'm not sure I ought to be here. I understand that. What they want me. And so I met and greeted a few folks, and they had all these punch bowls over there with cups and cutting and dip spoons and all that kind of stuff, but it wasn't Kool-Aid. Hallelujah. Praise God. I said, no, I know I'm in the wrong place now. Hallelujah. So something just told me, well, just go on downstairs and just wait till it's over with. Because I wrote with somebody else. I left that place and went downstairs and waited because I had to avoid the appearance. Even though I wasn't drinking, I wasn't dancing, I wasn't cursing, I wasn't smoking, none of those things was I doing, but I was in the place that saints ought not be. And I didn't have to tell me twice to get out of here. So sometimes you'll find yourself in those kinds of circumstances, think it's really no evil, but you don't know who's watching you. So the Bible said, don't even do stuff that appear to be evil. They tell you after hours. That's going to drop out. He said, you can just drink a Coke. That's what the devil tells you. You don't have to drink a beer. We're going to drink beer. We know you don't drink, but, you know, we'll buy you a Coke. Amen. No, no. That's the appearance of evil. What if you're in a bar and somebody walk by and see you in there? Wait a minute. Aren't they from Christ Temple of Paris, Kentucky? Yeah, I thought they were Holy Ghost-filled folks. Well, that's what they said. Hallelujah. You could be just as innocent, but you're in the wrong place. So he said, avoid the very appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y, wholly, the whole person. But he said, hold fast to that which is good, my righteousness. And I was reading the text, it says, I believe it was Job. He said, my righteousness will I hold fast, and I won't let it go. He said, all this stuff happening to me, but I don't care. I lost my wife. I lost my children. I lost this, and I lost that, and all, and I've lost my health. But one thing I don't want to lose, I'm going to hold fast to my righteousness. And he said, I won't let it go. Job 27 and 6. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, will I not remove mine integrity from me? There's not a lot of integrity sometimes in the church. Folks, church folks, apostolic church, they have integrity issues. You can't believe what they said. And they make you a promise, but sometimes they don't keep those promises. They always told me when I was coming, your word is your bond. If you tell somebody you're going to do something, do it. Or if you can't do it, call them and say, hey, I knew I promised it, but something happened. That's all right. But just promise somebody and say, oh, I forgot. No, you didn't forget to get up and go to work. Amen. You didn't forget to go to that party when you were in the world. You were there before everybody else got there, before the doors even opened. Then you stayed till the doors closed and didn't want to go home then. But when it comes to the church, you know, we hope the church is closed by the time we get there. That's how backwards we are. But the scripture says, hold fast to the good stuff. The good stuff is that, amen, God is a timely God, and we got to do stuff timely. Y'all ain't going to like me. He said, I'm going to hold fast to the good stuff. I know what's good for me. Amen. I get it. When I was coming up as a boy, a little kid coming up, I knew what I was going to do on Sundays. I knew that I was going to go to Sunday school and I was going to church. I would love to be out there with all the other kids. They're out there fishing and playing baseball and playing this and all of it. I would love to have been out there with them, but no, I believe God said, little boy, if you want me to bless you when you get old, you better go to church. And now, since God has blessed me to be in my 82nd year, I think he's been pretty good to me. Hallelujah. And it wasn't because of me, but because I held on to the principles of God to do that which is good and right in the sight of God, even though I had a desire to do something else. But you got to let your desire go in the back burner. In all of your ways, you got to acknowledge God and let him direct your path and hold fast to the good things. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 15 says, therefore, brethren, talking about the church, stand fast and hold the traditions which have been taught. Yes. Things that we've been taught of God, those good things, and how to treat your neighbor, how to treat your wife, how to treat your children, how to treat your neighbor. Those are the good principles that folks taught us. But now, I don't know what has happened to church folks. Next door neighbors been living together 42 years on the same block, and all of a sudden can't get along. Won't even, and some folks, I'm talking about church folks, I'm not talking about the world. Some church folks who live next door for folks for years that don't have an automobile, but they never offer them a ride. Not y'all in that category. Glory to God. Sometimes we pass our neighbor on the street walking with three bags under their hand. Roll right on past them. That's not the way I came up. I came up with the understanding that if my neighbor, I knew they had to go to the store, I said, I'm going to the store. You want to ride with me? I didn't say I will take you to the store for $5. I didn't do that. No, it didn't cost me any more to take my neighbor than to take myself. Why do I need $5? Those were the good principles that we lived by, but we lost all of that. It's all about how much can I grasp and how much can I get. God multiplies by dividing. God take that little bit and multiply it. And that little deed that you would do to some, God will multiply that. Blessing will come to you beyond measure. I know what I'm talking about. Thank God. So he says, hold fast to the form of sound words. That's 2 Timothy 1 and 3. Paul talking to his protege. Hold fast. We're talking about hold fast. Hold fast to the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Hold fast to those things that are sound, which is the word of God. Glory to God. Paul said, the good things which was committed unto thee, keep thee by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in you. Hold on to that good stuff, those good thoughts, those good deeds, doing service to my fellow man. Be through after a while, but hold fast to that which is good. Church folks seem to have the spirit of gravitation towards stuff that's bad, not only young but old folks. Listen. When I was coming up, the things that were taught, the good things. Because if you don't have God, you'll gravitate to stuff that you were taught not to do. Because stuff that I did sometimes when I wasn't saved, didn't have the Holy Ghost, I gravitated sometimes to those things that I was taught not to do. Even though when I did it, before I did it, I knew it was wrong. But I didn't have any power to keep me from doing. The Bible says, after that which the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. That's why you need the Holy Ghost. You have to have the power to resist those things that are going to come. Because I don't care how long you've been in church, the devil is going to bring stuff to you. He's going to tempt you. But God said in his word, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Hold fast to the good stuff. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6 through 9. And Moses was verily faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Listen, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. Listen, just listen what it says. But Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we are his house, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. We're his house if we hold on to his principles unto the end, not going a little ways and quit. Quitters never win. Winners never quit. That wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear my voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of the temptation of the wilderness. When your father tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 days. And what he was saying, they didn't hold fast to the good stuff, so I made them go around in circles for 40 years. You know, the 40-year experience in the wilderness was really probably not even a 40-day journey, really. But because they did those things and did not hold on to the good principles that God gave them, they kept looking over what the other folks did. Ooh, boy, that looks good over there. God told them, don't you go over there. Don't you fool with that stuff. But they kept saying, ooh, boy, my I want to go over there. Johnny, look, Johnny's got this. How come I can't have it? You know how we are. We always want what somebody else has got, even though they know it's not good for us. But it looks good. Can I go over there? And they start mixing with other folks. So God confused them, let them walk around in the wilderness for 40 years. Lord have mercy. He said, look, you can't want to be like everybody else. They had something years ago, I want to be like Mike. You know, when Michael Jordan was in his day, I want to be like Mike. No, I want to be like Jesus. I don't know about Mike. I don't care how Mike can score and make money. I don't want to be like Mike. I want to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, oh, how long to be like him? Meek and holy. I want to be like Jesus. Hold fast to that good stuff. Because the devil's got all that stuff. He's dangling in front of you. He's waving it. He's just waving it. It just, the devil is out on your street. And as you pass by, he's out there. Amen. He's out there. He wants you to stop. And the song said, don't let the devil ride. If you let him ride, then he gonna wanna drive. So don't let him ride. But he's out there every day, going my way. And sometimes you say, well, okay. And pick up the devil and want him pick up the saints. Oh, have mercy, Lord, have mercy. Good, do the good thing. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. If we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. It's not a part-time job. It's not a sometime job. You got to hold fast to God every day. And even when you hold fast to God, amen, the devil going to try to get in there. He going to try to mess it up, and he's going to try to just shake you up and bring all kinds of stuff your way. You have good intentions. But somebody said the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You can't just have good intentions. You got to do good intentions. You just can't have it. You got to do it. The Bible says, amen, don't talk about the word, but be doers. Everybody can talk a good game, but what are you doing? Everybody talking about being saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. You can talk that all you want to, but are you living holy? The good thing, hold fast to that. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing that we have a great high priest, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. What we profess, let's hold on to that. Because the devil is coming on. He want to snatch that out of your hand. Hold fast. They told us, boy, you mind your manners. That's what my parents told me. Mind your manners. And those are things we ought to hold fast. Have good manners. Young folks, have good manners. Good manners mean that when I'm a child and my parents, y'all young folks, wake up. And my parents tell me, Johnny, go take out the trash. I took it out yesterday. That's the day you don't eat. That's the day you should don't have to eat. Johnny, clean up your bed. I don't feel like it. That's the day you sleep on the floor. Hallelujah. He said, hold fast to good manners. Respect. Folks don't have respect. Kids don't respect their parents. Parents don't respect their kids. The Bible says to our young folks, to us who are old, honor your mother and your father. These are the good things you hold on to. Honor your mother and your father, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. He didn't say how old you got, how bad you think your parents are. They're still your parents. How grown you think you are, if you are 10 now and your parents was 25 years older than you when you were born, you haven't caught up one day. You're still 25 years older than you. Hold fast. But the devil's got so many things pulling at us, and we're gravitating. I'm talking about the church. I'm concerned about the church, especially the apostolic church. The gravitating to stuff that is no good. Hold on to stuff. Listen, we have to be careful what our eye gate and our ear gate hears. You can't watch everything on TV. Everybody's TV ought to have a, what you call them things, you put a code in and nobody can get into that station. Because some stuff on the TV, left to the kids in the back room, anytime what they watching back there. No. What do you call it? Put a code in. What was they call that stuff? Parent control. Just whatever TV have parent control, you put a code in, they can't get to it. Just leave it. But if you don't, it's going to be difficult to come to church and listen to the word of God, and that's the good thing you ought to hold on to, then go back home and begin to look at all that stuff on TV. It's going to make you forget what you heard at church. Don't kid yourself. If you listen to stuff a lot, it becomes a part of you. You know, listen, I'm going to say this as a pastor. That's why you can't run to everybody's church. I'm going to say that again. You can't run to every church in town, because if you do, there's a spirit you pick up. And have you so mixed up, you don't know which way's up or which way's down. But there's a spirit you pick up out there that sounds good, looks good, you think it's good, but it's a deception to get you. Don't want to go to your own church. Amen. Some people want to. That's a bad thing when you're in your parents' house and you don't have no job, but you like to go to Sally's house instead of being at your own house. They ain't feeding you over there. They're not buying your clothes. They're not buying your shoes. They're not paying for you to have your hair fixed. They always told me, if you went to the dance, dance with the person who brought you. Amen. No, don't be looking. Take somebody to the dance. They won't dance with everybody but me. Wait a minute, I brought you. Wait a minute. Something wrong with this picture. But that's how the devil deceives us. Sometimes we're so busy looking on the other side. They told me, yes, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, but it's just as hard to mow. May look good, but it's not that good. I tell you this, preacher, I told you the story before. This preacher preached unusual messages. And I told you this story before. He talked about a person that's always looking over there at somebody else instead of appreciating what they have. He said this bull was in the fence with six cows. Six female cows. He had plenty of green grass. But across the fence, there were four other cows. So instead of the bull taking care of the six cows that were with him, he looking over the other side of the fence, wondering about how can I get over with the other four cows. So he kept looking and thinking. The more he thought, the more he dreamed about how can I get out of just slip out here and go with another fence. So one day he decided he gonna get on the other side of the fence with them other four cows. Then he already got six females. That's all, and eating green grass. That's all he had to do. But he was not comfortable where he was. But he was looking on the other side of the fence. So he said, I want to see if I can get over there. He gonna figure, how am I gonna get across that fence? He got up in the mirror one day. He took a steam and he jumped across that field, skinned himself up and cut himself up. Oh, got over there where the other four cows were, and there were four bulls. It didn't look like that till he got over there. He thought they were female. They were bulls just like him. So sometimes when you get greedy and get to look at stuff you should not be looking at, you can find that stuff is not what it appears to be. That's how deceptive the devil is. It looks good and it looks enticing until you get over there where it is. This is not what I thought it was. I didn't know I had it made so good. He said, hold fast to our profession. incredible. Okay. Listen, Hebrews 10, 21. I'm just going to read this. Hebrews 10, verses 21 through 25. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from evil conscience. Our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. And our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Now I'm going to read on. That's why I want to read this. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's a good thing. Not, verse number 25, when reading Hebrews, you read your own Bible. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25. Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as a manner of some is. I'm going to read that again. Not forsaking the assembly coming to church. That's what he's talking about. Not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together as a manner of some is. There are a whole lot of folks who stop going to church. That was a good thing. Used to be, like I say, the church was just when folks just, if they had to walk or anyway, they were going to get to church. But now, Lord, you see once in a while, and that's happening everywhere. Amen. There are churches used to be mega churches. Most of them folks just, they churched out. I don't know how you can get tired of God that's doing all this good stuff for. I've been in church 82 years, and I'm still eager. I'm still excited about church. You don't have to have no organ, no drums, no saxophone. I don't need any of that stuff. All I need is God. Right. Well, the choir didn't sing too good today. I didn't go to church to hear the choir sing. He was off note. I didn't go to hear nobody play no instrument. I went to worship God. My whole aim, my whole purpose of coming to church is not to hear somebody sing or play. I come to receive a word from God. And my focus then is going to be on God, not on the things that, but the devil will have you so distracted about what you thought should have happened, that song that you want to hear, you didn't hear it. I'm not listening to any of that. Listen, yeah, I'm serious, Doctor. I can have church all by myself. My worship of God is not contingent or dependent upon what you do. You can't hinder me from praising God. My mind is already made before Sunday comes, before Tuesday. My mind is already made up. I'm going to praise God. He told me to come into his place with a praise on my lips and thanksgiving on my heart. So it's not contingent upon what someone else does. My relationship in God is too important than to not come to church. That's what he's talking about. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some years. It won't be like other folks. But exhorting one another. Encouraging one another. And much the more as you see the day approaching. When you see the last day coming. He said, that's time you really need to get. And I'm telling you, is there a time that we need to come to church? Right? It's not. Times are getting worse. Lord have mercy. Can you see the sign of the end time? It is not time to play church anymore. You got to be serious about church. Serious about your God. But sometimes the distractions are so great. We don't know what's going on. And we'll end the text by reading out of the book of Revelation. This is a part of the three of the seven churches he wrote to. And we're going to ask you, as the Bible described what kind of folks they were, What church are you in? I'm not talking about Christ Temple of Paris, Kentucky. I'm talking about the Church of the Living God. What church do you fall in? Revelation chapter 12, chapter 2, verse 12. And unto the angel of the church of Pergamos write, these things says which he has a sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works. I know where you live. I know where you are. He said, I know where you do it. He said, I know what other folks think you are, what your position is. But I know where you live. I know your street. Pergamos. I even know where Satan's seat is. He said, and thou holdest fast my name. You hold fast my name and hast not denied my faith. Even in the days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth, you were still holding fast unto the faith. But he said, even with that, I have a few things against you. Are you in that church? Because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who Balak taught to cast stumbling blocks before the children of Israel. Then you worship an idol of gods. Are you in that church? And idol of gods to us could be the thing that you worship more than God. Some folks watch more television than they watch God. Spend more time playing games than praising God. It's just amazing to me that we as apostolic people can spend 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours at a ball game, worship, praising, and clapping hands, and can't spend 2 hours in church. 2 hours are too long. It's time to go home. Ain't been at the game yet. Even out there in the snow and the rain, got the rain coat on. Oh, woo! Did he score? Did he score? And get the church in them. How long they gonna testify? That's the state of the church today. Lord, how did we get there? It used to be everybody got up and praised God. Amen. When I got in the apostolic church, man, folks got up and they would be singing and praising God. They'd be, look. Listen, when I got in the apostolic church, deacon, there were no a drum set like that, man, ain't no such thing. A keyboard, it wasn't no such thing. Someone on one piano, boom, 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 and the guy was had one snare drum. That's all he had. Boom, da, boom, da, boom, da, boom. That's all he, boom. Now, man, we be shouting off that one little boom, da, boom, da, boom. But now, Lord have mercy. Music could be going. Lord have mercy. We don't have enough strength to even pat our feet. We just sit there with our look like they got. Look, I think some folks got crazy glue on the bottom of their feet. Just can't get it up. So that's what he said. Look, I have something against you. Yeah, you got all these things, but there's other things you're not doing because you allow folks to get you to involve yourselves in idol worship. And sometimes that's what saints are doing. Amen. Get them, hallelujah. Get them dirty magazines you're looking at. Hallelujah, Lord, have mercy. Oh, have mercy. Amen. You can't do that. Those are stumbling blocks. Not good things. He said, repent, or else I'm going to come quickly and will fight against thee with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. To him that overcometh will I give him to eat the hidden manna,
and will give him the white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth that he receiveth it. I'm glad I got a new name. Are you in that church? What church are you in? The second church? And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who has eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet as like fine brass. I know thy works. I know thy charity, thy love. I know the service that you give, and your faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and less to be more than first. Yeah, I know all of them things you're doing. You're doing some work, and you're showing some love, and doing service, and you're patient. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you. You ain't all together, is what he's saying. Because thou suffered that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But I say unto the rest of Thyatira, as many have not this doctrine, which have not known the depth of Satan, as they speak, I will put none of these burdens, other burdens on you. If you do that which is right and pleasing in the sight of God. But that which you have already, hold fast till I come. You might not quite have it, but hold, at least don't let anything else slip out of you. Hold fast to what you do have. Then you build on top of that. But the devil comes to sap what you do have. You may not have as much as everybody. The devil, he's going to sap all the strength, all the power out of you. Yes. He wants you to be a zombie. But I'm going to work for the Lord. He said, but that which you already have, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keep my works unto the end. Listen, he that overcometh and keep my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. And I will receive, and as I will receive to my father, I will give him the morning star. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now get down to the last one he talked about. What church are you in? He talked to a church named Sardis. That's the idea of Sardis. He said, these things, he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou liveth and are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. So you can't, you know, whatever you got, you know, you can't let it slip out of you. The devil sapped enough stuff out of you. Don't let that die. For I have not found that works perfect before me. Are you in that church? See, you're doing something, but still, there's something about you that's not quite right. Then he says, remember therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. He said, yeah, you're not quite where you ought to be, but hold fast to what you got. And what you're not, repent and start all over. So you made a mistake, repent. You thought something wrong, repent. You said something wrong, repent.
You can't keep going on like nothing happened. He said, you got to repent. Hold fast. Listen. If therefore thou shalt not watch, here's a warning to the church. Are you in this church? I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the church. And in my closing, I'm just reading what the scripture says. In my closing, Revelation chapter 3, verse number 7. And unto the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things, says he which is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and he that shutteth and no man opens. I know thy works. Don't you think God don't know what's going on with you or going on with me? I don't care what other folks think of you, what they say about you. God said, I know you. I know your work. He said, behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name, Philadelphia. Behold, I will make them the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, and do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and to worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Then he says, verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. He said, hold fast to what you got, that no man taketh your crown. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out. He shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God, and I'll write upon him a new name. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Hold fast to that which is good. Put your hands together and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I've talked till I'm sweating, so I guess it's time to quit. But I'm telling you, God impressed upon me, you know, we got to hold fast to that. Hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. Oh, hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. Oh.
better be the hope. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hold fast that which is good.